that a little bit later on. Moving on now to WhatsApp, because WhatsApp is used all over Ireland by sports clubs. It's a simple and efficient tool to relay information about games and training and events and everything to its members. But the GAA have become increasingly worried about GDPR compliance issues surrounding members included in group chats on the app. And by the way, let me know, how do you feel about being added, you know, randomly to group chats in general, and you're stuck with a whole load of people that you're really not interested in the conversation, and then you say Maria has left the conversation, so it looks like I'm in bad humour or something. But you can let me know your thoughts on those as well. But first, let's talk about the GDPR aspect of it. Dara O'Brien is founder and MD of Castlebridge, that specialists in data governance, privacy and ethics. You're very welcome back to the programme, Dara.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's what I don't understand about this whole thing is, how can you add somebody's number and with all this GDPR stuff? I don't get how, you know, I can give somebody your number without your permission.
Well, that's part of the issue in terms of how WhatsApp works and a lot of these other instant messaging applications. People are added to groups, and in some cases, the information has been given for them to be part of a team or a community group, and they're added into the group so they can receive the message, receive messages from the group. One of the key problems, though, with WhatsApp in particular, is that your phone number is displayed and disclosed when the messages are being sent, and that links to contact names in the phone book on your phone, but that's fine if everyone in the group knows each other. Mm. And has each other in their contact book on their phone. But if you don't know people, if it's a wider network than just your immediate friends, your phone number is being shared with other people in that group, whether you're aware of it or not. And that means that your phone number could be saved and copied and held by other people for other purposes. The other challenge and difficulty around using WhatsApp from a data protection perspective is that one of its features is it uploads your contact book to WhatsApp to match the data against all the other data that they hold. So it can identify who in your network of friends and people in your contact list are already using WhatsApp, and also identify those who aren't already
using
WhatsApp.
And we've given it permission to do this, I presume, when we click to confirm things.
Well, in terms of how clear that permission is and how valid that consent is, I'd argue quite strongly that the people don't necessarily understand what that process is and how it works. But also, how would I give consent for your mobile number to be shared with WhatsApp when I'm agreeing to share my contact book? So it's that aspect of what is the basis for the sharing of the data and who's actually entitled to give permission, or more importantly, the lack of awareness that people might have that suddenly their data is being shared with WhatsApp. And it's worth remembering that WhatsApp is part of Facebook. It's owned by Facebook. And Facebook bought WhatsApp a couple of years ago, even though they've got other messenger applications themselves, Facebook Messenger being one. And the reason they bought WhatsApp was to identify, it was to get access to the data of who was messaging who and the relationships between people, because that drives the advertising engine in the Facebook world. And again, this is something that's under investigation by the Data Protection Commission and by a number of European regulators as to how that data is gathered and processed. But getting back to the practicalities of it, it comes down to the simple question of your information is displayed to anyone who's in that group, your phone number is available to them, whether you want it to be or not. The other aspect then is when information is being shared in the group, with a sports team, it could be information about injuries on the team. Other types of organizations that we've encountered using WhatsApp for communication, because it is a very useful tool, or the type of technology is a useful tool. You see political parties using it. You see neighborhood watch groups using it. You see retail organizations using it. So you little signs you see around Waterford and Wexford with the community alert scheme, rural cooperation with the Garda Síochána, that's using WhatsApp to share information. The key challenge with that is managing, and one of the issues that was raised by the GAA concerns, is managing and auditing who has access and who's in the group, and the appropriateness of people having access to information. So if someone leaves the organisation, have they been taken out of the WhatsApp group? We see it kind of jokingly in British politics at the moment, where there's splits in a party and suddenly they have to rearrange their WhatsApp group. Well, again, that's something that happens, needs to be dealt with in community groups who are using WhatsApp. Who has access to the information, particularly if you're sharing information about things that might be sensitive or might be related to, for example, political opinions or beliefs or physical or mental health.
But surely it would be a simple fix to go that you can't be added to a group, that somebody can invite you to the group, but they can't add you without you agreeing to it.
And other messaging platforms operate on that basis. So there are two other messaging platforms out there, such as Signal, which is a very secure, encrypted messaging application that I use myself extensively. And that will be a simple change, simple tweak to the process that you can't be added to a group unless you are accepting it. The issue then is when you decide to leave the group, how do people know you've left the organisation, and is there any audit control over that? Again, working with a client a number of years ago, in the early days of WhatsApp and these types of messengers, they were concerned that they were being spied on by a competitor because their competitor was getting out to the market ahead of them with very competitive offerings in their particular area. And they thought they were being hacked, they thought they were being spied on. It turned out that a large number of people from their marketing department had left the organization and gone to work for their competitor, but hadn't been taken out of the WhatsApp group. So the answer to the question, how did their competitors know, was they were telling them. And that's the practical issue in that context.
Did the GDPR regulations come in too soon? Do you know what I'm saying? That we kind of really didn't understand the implications of it. So there are things happening that if we had prepared better, wouldn't be happening.
No.
And people like you, to be fair, were telling us all about the things that we could expect.
It's actually the opposite problem. The fundamental rules that are set out in GDPR have existed for over 30 years, nearly 40 years at this stage. The first Data Protection Act in Ireland was in 1988. The first global treaty on data protection was in 1981. So we can't say these are new. The issue has been the adoption of technology and people not actually stopping and looking and thinking, well, how does this use of this technology create issues or risks for compliance and for actually managing information in a way that aligns with what we're trying to do as an organization, but also aligns with our legal obligations and our ethical obligations in terms of how we're handling and sharing data and using data. So what's happened is things have come in from a consumer approach where people are using it in their families, well, this is a great thing. And when they start using it in a different context, different rules apply. But people haven't actually stopped to think, well, what are those rules? And we're now seeing organizations like the GAA having to react to the use of these technologies that are exposing the organizations, the management and members of the organizations, and the individuals whose data is being processed in those organizations to quite a degree of risk.
I spoke to you when this kind of became more official, for want of a better description, Dara. And, you know, there was people taking guest books away because it was potentially breaching GDPR and all of this. And you were saying, like, there was an awful lot of overreaction about it. Someone's just texted in to say, Maria Orti told us last night the HSE are refusing to show where defibrillators are located due to data protection. How mad is that? I'd have to agree. Is that the kind of thing that people aren't quite getting? The whole GDPR thing. Why would you not want people to know where a defibrillator is?
Well, for a start, defibrillators aren't covered by data protection because they're not living individuals. So that HSE story is an example of a failure by the HSE or other organizations to invest in proper training and awareness of what the rules actually are and what they apply to. In public sector in particular, there's often a confusion between data protection rules and freedom of information rules, which are two different areas of law. It beggars belief that the HSE wouldn't want people to know where defibrillators are in an area. It kind of defeats the purpose of having defibrillators.
I didn't hear that myself, but it just kind of beggars belief that why would you not want people to know where those things are? Dara, thanks very much for talking to me.
You're more than welcome.
See you. Bye-bye. That's Dara O'Brien there, founder and MD of Castle Bridge. And Castle Bridge are specialists in data governance, privacy and ethics. And let me know your thoughts on those WhatsApp groups. I mean, I don't mind being in them. And if somebody says to me, you can always leave the WhatsApp group if you want to. Yeah, I know you can. But surely you should have to say, yeah, OK, I want to be in this group. Because sometimes you're added to groups and you have no more interest in what they're talking about. And then you look churlish if you go, well, Maria's left the group. Oh, yeah. But, you know, let me know your thoughts on it on 083 333 975. That's how you get in touch, or 051 846 123. I'll be back with more after.